Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Marma Shalyena Chaitena Nirvedo Me Mahanabhut Neshe Didrikshitam Sakshat Praptam Tyaktum Chatat Prabhum. Such darts shot into my vital points made me want to give everything up. But I had no desire to leave the Lord, whom I had long hankered to see, and whose personal contact I had now obtained. Commentary. To see the leaders of society refusing Vishnu's prasadam was more painful to Gopakumar than the wounds of well-aimed arrows. One who is cut at a major junction of the subtle channels carrying prana feels excruciating pain. But the pain of having to watch and tolerate aparads in the service of Lord Vishnu was more painful for Gopakumara than such a wound. He lost whatever enthusiasm he had for continuing his involvement with ruling the kingdom, for he could not leave Lord Vishnu. Etasmin eva samaye tatva dakshina deshatah samagatai saruvarai kotitam tartikairidam. Just then, some venerable saints from the south arrived on pilgrimage and told me this. Commentary. The saintly pilgrims were Vaishnavas from Jagannath Puri. For a while they had left that holy dham to see Lord Vishnu's deities and devotees elsewhere, mostly in the various tirthas. Daru Brahma Jagannato Bhagavan Purushottame Kshetre Nilachale Ksharar Navetire Virajate. At Purushottama Kshetra, on the Blue Mountain, on the shore of the salt ocean, Jagannath, the Lord of the Universe, the personality of Godhead, is present as the absolute truth manifest in wood. Commentary. Within the holy dham called Purushottama, on the shore of the salt ocean, is a district named Nilachala, and there the supreme personality of Godhead is present as Lord Jagannath. He is called Daru Brahma because he is the absolute truth in wood, Daru, and because he destroys, Dadanat, the miseries of material existence. He is described in a number of Puranas, for example, in the Padma Purana, Samudrasyotare Tire Aste Shri Purushottame Purnananda Moyam Brahma Daru Vyaja Sharira Prit. At Sri Purushottama, on the northern shore of the ocean, resides the supreme absolute truth, full of perfect ecstasy. He has assumed a transcendental body that appears wooden. And in the Brihad Vishnu Purana, Niladrao Chotkale Deshe Kshetre Shri Purushottame Darunyaste Chiranando Jagannath Akyamurtina. In the land of Odisha, on the Blue Mountain at Sri Purushottama Kshetra. The ecstatic and all spiritual Lord is present in wood in his form known as Jagannath. Continuing, Maha Vibhutiman Rajyam Autkalam Palayan Swayam Vyanjayan Nijamahakmiyam Sada Sevaka Vatsalaha. With infinite opulence, that Lord himself rules the kingdom of Utkala. He displays his unique glories and always takes affectionate care of his devotees. Commentary. Utkala is another name for Orissa. Lord Jagannath himself rules this kingdom by issuing various commands and guidelines for the citizens' conduct of business and personal affairs. Hold on a second. As the Tattva Yamala states, Bharate Chotkale Deshe Bhuswarge Purushottame Daru Rupi Jagannatho Bhaktanam Abhaya Pradaha Narachishtam Upadaya Aste Mokshai Kakarakaha. In the Utkala kingdom in Bharata Varsha lies the earthly heaven of Purushottama. There Lord Jagannath appears in a wooden form. Taking up human-like activities, he bestows fearlessness on his devotees. He is the only giver of liberation. Lord Jagannath displays his own glories, such as his kind compassion on unfortunate souls, especially affectionate to his servants. He never takes their offenses seriously. And then the visitors explain something that interests Gopakumar very much to hear. Tasyanam pachitam lakshmiya swayam bhuktva dayaluna datam tena swabhakte bhyo labhyate deva durlabham. After eating food cooked for him by his consort Lakshmi, the all-merciful Lord Jagannath distributes to his devotees his own remnants, which are available in Nilachala, even though by demigods they are rarely achieved. Commentary. The remnants from the plate of Lord Vishnu are extremely difficult to obtain. But in Nilachala, after the goddess Lakshmi personally cooks for Lord Jagannath, the Lord eats each preparation and then freely distributes his remnants to his devotees. Being all-merciful, Lord Jagannath sees to it himself that all his devotees obtain his prasad. When everything cooked for the Lord is offered before him in many clay pots, sometimes he eats only a little of each preparation, and sometimes he eats everything and then miraculously refills the pots. Mahaprasada sangyam cha tat sprishtam yena kena chit yatra kutra pivanitam avicharena bhujyate. That food is called his Mahaprasad. Be it touched by anyone or brought anywhere, without discriminating, the devotees eat it. Commentary. The Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath is unique. Because it has been touched by his nectarian lips, it can never be contaminated. Even if touched by an unseeable or untouchable person, or carried to an unclean place, no decent person ever refuses to eat Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad, or complains that it may not be pure, or that the time is improper to accept it. It is said, Yadanam pachyat pachyayet lakshmir bhoktacha purushottamah sprishta sprishtam namantavyam yata vishnus tataivasa. That food that Lakshmi cooks and Lord Purushottama eats should be accepted without consideration of its being touched or untouched by anyone. It is as pure as Lord Vishnu himself. The Skanda Purana, Vaishnava Kanda, adds, Chirastam api samshushkam nitam va duradeshataha yatanyatopabuktam sat sarvapapanodanam. Even if Lord Jagannath's prasad has completely dried up from sitting for a long time, or has been carried to a far distant place, if eaten in the proper spirit, it will surely drive away all of one's sins. According to the Bhavishya Purana, Antya Varnai Yina Varnai Shankara Prabhavayarapi Sprishtam Jagat Patir Annam Buktam Sarv Aganashanam. Even if the food eaten by the Lord of the Universe has been touched by outcasts, by those with no caste, or those born in mixed castes, still it has the power to destroy all sins. In the words of the Tattva Yamala, Nasti tatraiva rajendra sprishta sprishta vivechanam yasya samsprishtama trena yantya medya pavitratam. O best of kings, one should never be concerned whether someone has touched Lord Jagannath's prasad. If persons unfit to take part in Vedic sacrifices simply touch this prasad, they become completely sanctified. And according to the Garuda Purana, Nakala niyamo vipra rate chandrayane yata praptamatvena bunjita yadichen mokshamatmanaha. O Brahmana, there is no restrictions about when to accept this prasad, as there are in the observance of vows like Chandrayana. Whenever one receives Lord Jagannath's prasad, one should eat it at once if one wants to attain liberation of the soul. Gopakumar is happy to hear this. And what was causing him so much trouble was the scruples of the Brahmins who would dare to refuse Lord Vishnu's prasadam because they thought someone had unclean and touched it or done something to it. So he never heard of this Lord Jagannath before, but it sounds interesting to him that his prasadam is considered something special, and no matter what is done to it, it's still happily accepted by all the devotees.
Yes, Prabhu. So
we hear about the prasadam glories and how it gives a lot of benefits and helps us. But practically, when we see sometimes when the prasadam, if the external it is spoiled, how should, you know, like, what should be our approach?
We can't imitate the Paramahamsas if, without being sufficiently spiritually potent, we take something that's going to make us physically sick. We won't be able to tolerate it. So spoiled food, or say it's been touched by someone who has a contagious disease, then you should exercise some practical, care for your health. It's not offensive. It would be foolish. It'd be foolish to eat the rotten prasadam, you'd get sick.
Is it because of our lack of Krishna consciousness?
Yes. If we were, not just understanding, faith, if we were completely dependent on Krishna, then Krishna would protect us, even if Prahlad Maharaj was protected when he was administered poison. So even something poisonous, Krishna would protect us from, if we accepted it in complete faith that it was his prasadam. But we can't imitate that. Prabhupada said, don't take rotten prasadam in your neophyte condition. Take care for your health.
Faith.
Yes.
And then you would ask this question that what all suffering and happiness is there that is destined for everyone? According to our destiny, we get that.
Yes.
So why even devotees they go for medicine and even the elevated souls also? So how to consider?
It's your destiny to get sick. It's written in your palm on your head. It's also your destiny to go to the doctor and have to pay him money. That's also your suffering. It's part of it. It's interconnected. But it's also beyond that. It's your service to take care of your body because it belongs to Krishna. It's your spiritual duty. Forget your karma. It's your duty to maintain this body for Krishna's service. So it may be a great transcendental pleasure to accept all of Krishna's prasadam indiscriminately, but you do have to make practical considerations for the sake of maintaining your service, and you have to maintain your health to maintain your service.
The question is that, if things are destined, then what material things can come into it? If karma is there, according to the karma, if you're supposed to get...
Destiny is material. It's all material things.
So the medicine can counterattack that?
Yes, it's one material energy counteracting another. And it's your fate that this is how things, you're going to have to be participating in this process of getting sick, taking some medicine, getting cured. That's all the fun of being in the material world. So a devotee, he doesn't stop taking care of his body. He may minimize it, simplify it as far as possible. He still has to eat every day something. He can minimize that as far as possible. He has to clean his body, evacuate, and take shower. And the body will get sick, and he should take treatment when he gets sick. Better to take natural treatment. This allopathic medicine is violent. Violent and exploitative. So better than the Western medical treatment would be natural Ayurvedic treatment, if you can find an honest Ayurvedic doctor. But that's our duty, to maintain Krishna's equipment.
I don't know whether this is a fact or not. Someone was telling me, I think this is in PK's diary, that Prabhupada tells that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati never accepted any medicine.
Really?
I exactly don't remember. I just wanted to confirm from
I don't remember. But I didn't read that entire book. Oh, I did read it, yeah. I don't remember reading that. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never took any medicine? Never accepted?
Yeah, that he wanted to he points out there that like was if he is accepting medicine, that was I'm accepting material science.
Well, that's his individual preference. Not every Vaishnav in history has been like that. Prabhupada accepted medicine.
No, the question was that you were saying that when I put it this to one's devotee.
Yes.
I don't remember where I read this.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify.
Well, then you shouldn't use that microphone and don't drive a car either, if someone wants to follow that standard. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did use technology.
Well, yeah, that's why he wanted to introduce it. So that was a little bit confusing for me. And so I just wanted to confirm.
It was just a personal, I don't want to say idiosyncrasy, but a personal characteristic that he preferred to manage his life without medicine. Not that everybody's like that. But he wasn't completely against using scientific technology for preaching, yes. So for yourself, you shouldn't take anything. That was his message. But for preaching Krishna's message, you can use everything. So he was looking at it that it was, you know, it was just a selfish consideration to take medicine for his own body. But we can look at it another way, that we take medicine to make it possible for us to be healthy and preach. Someone who's a brahmachari from birth and has never spent his semana, he's going to be pretty healthy anyway. Yeah, so he doesn't have to worry too much. Okay. Yes, Prabhu? Here it is.
Why is it that prasadam is difficult to obtain for devatas? What is not possible to offer prasadam to the deities? Like here we're saying,
Deva Dullabha
or something like this.
Yes. Well,
even
I don't know how. See, this is, we're used to having all the prasadam we want. We never without prasadam. We may not get a lot of maha prasadam, but there's always some available. You can get a few drops. I mean, all you need is one drop for spiritual purposes. But here is being described that the demigods can't even get any. That's Krishna's arrangement. How he arranges it, you know. The demigods, who they should have access to deities up there, and the deities are getting fed, aren't they? But somehow, there's a scarcity of prasadam. Yeah. That in general, Lord Vishnu's, it's said in Shastra, very explicitly, there are stories based on this fact, that Lord Vishnu's prasadam is very extremely difficult to obtain. We're getting plenty of it. We're very lucky. How it is that it's not available, we can't even imagine, because we're swimming in prasadam.
Yeah. I also remember.
Yes.
I was taking prasadam to Ravindra Bhatt once.
Yes.
And at the end of prasadam, he took some rice and put it. I said. At the end, yeah.
Yeah.
In the beginning, he also does something.
And then at the end, after he ate.
Yes. And I said, can you explain me? He said, this is for Indra. And other, I said, wow, how is it? Well, Shastra says, he says, Purana says that for Deva this is difficult to obtain. The same statement.
Yes.
And I asked, how is it? He said, I don't know, I just follow.
Well, there are stories describing how Indra, how Lakshmi's, you know, fighting to get some prasadam, conniving to get some. Why it's hard for her to get prasadam? Can't say. Well, there's a lot of competition to get Krishna's mahaprasadam, so it's you know, even when it comes off the altar, it's gone very quickly. Yeah. The devotees later, hi Krishna, in the first volume of Vira Bhagavatamrita, the devotees in Dwarka are a little envious of Uddhava because he's the only one that gets to eat with Krishna constantly. Every day, you know, he's always with Krishna, and so he always shares his meals with Krishna. He always gets Krishna's remnants, and the rest of them don't always get. This is in Dwarka. You know, okay, there's remnants over Krishna's plate, but Uddhava gets his share first, and there's not that much to go around. So everybody doesn't always get. Maybe they do get, but they don't get as much and as often as they want. So they're thinking as if they don't get it all. There's competition for the prasadam, so therefore there doesn't seem to be enough to go around. Read a couple of more verses. So the visitors are describing Jagannath Puri. Oho tat kshetra mahatmyam gardabho pi chatur bhujaha yatra pravesha matrina Nakasyapi punar bhavaha. Oh, that holy kshetra is so great that even the donkeys living there have four arms. Anyone who simply enters that district will never take birth again. Commentary. Some may doubt the claim that Lord Jagannath's prasadam is so special. Those doubters should be informed that Lord Jagannath's abode is even more special. Even lowly animals like donkeys who live there are forearmed, for they have automatically achieved the perfections of Sarupya, having bodily features just like the Lord's. This is stated by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Purana. Aho kshetrasya mahatmyam samanta dashayojanam divishta yatra pashyanti sarvaniva chaturbhujaha. Just see how great is this holy abode. The demigods in heaven see that in this kshetra, for 10 yojanas on all sides, everyone has four arms. Sri Vedavyasa says in the Garuda Purana, Yatra stita jana sarve shankar chakrab japanayaha dvishyante dividevanscha mohayanti muhur muhuhu. Everyone living there appears with hands holding a conch shell, disc, and lotus. The demigods in heaven are constantly bewildered to see this. And Sri Narada says in the Bhakvicha Parishishta, Chatura Bhuja Janak Sarve Drishyante Yannivasinaha. All the residents there are seen to have four arms. Furthermore, simply by setting foot in Purushottama Kshetra, any living being coming from anywhere is freed from having to take another birth. This is confirmed by Vedavyas in the same Bahuvicha Parishishta. Sparshanam eva takshetram nuinam mukti pradayakam yatra sakshad param brahma bhati dharana lilaya dharava lilaya api janma shatai sagraya duritachara tatparaha kshetresmin sangamatrena jayate vishnuna saha. This holy kshetra, where the Supreme Truth is present, in his pastime of having a wooden form, bestows liberation upon all men who simply touch it. Even if someone has been dedicated to sinful behavior for many hundreds of lives, by merely coming into contact with this kshetra, he will take birth in the company of Lord Vishnu. Then the description of Lord Jagannath himself.
Yes, bro. But you know, all of us have visited Jagannath Puri.
Yes.
Almost. So does that mean in any case we'll not take birth again, despite whatever we do in our lives?
The promise is there of liberation, but that it doesn't say when. Okay, it says, does it say you won't take birth again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or no judgment? Okay. Accept it then. The one thing to be promised liberation, but not told when. You know, how many lifetimes? But here it says you won't take birth again. You may have to be corrected. You may have to undergo some purification before the end of that life to become fit to not take birth again, but Krishna will arrange it. Yes, we have to believe what it says.
When the devotee goes to Jagannath Puri and when the Rath cart is there, after that, when the devotee they embrace Jagannath or the Subhadra, then it's authorized like that, embracing Lord Deities.
They let you do that?
Yeah. When the devotee they do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? The worship of Lord Jagannath is a different standard. Things are done. Jagannath is worshipped differently than many other deities. So if that's the custom, then why not take advantage of it? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
You can embrace Jagannath and Subhadra, but not Subhadra.
And the devotees there are observing that custom
not
also?
Their devotees, our devotees only.
I think it would be abnormal to try to embrace Subhadra. That sounds reasonable. You may think it, I mean, you don't have to, if you feel like, you know, embarrassed to embrace Jagannath, you don't have to. Yes. Out of respect, you may not want to. Right? Yes?
In the last
few
years,
it was stated that to consider if you did Mahaprasad, and if you consider it to be at improper time, so that is also an offense. So if we get, suppose we happen to get Mahaprasad of Jagannath, from Jagannath Puri on Ekadashi day, so will it be an offense to think that today is Ekadashi happening?
No, you have to observe Ekadashi. That's your first duty. You can honor prasadam without putting it in your mouth. Put on your head. Put it aside for the next day. Okay, now Ekadasi has to be observed, at least by not taking grains. This is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Okay, Lord Jagannath. Prapulla Pundarika Kshe Tasmin Cha Evekshate Janehe Palam Syad Evam Asrausham Ascharyam Purvam Ashutam. A mere glimpse of him, whose eyes are like lotuses in full bloom, grants the ultimate goal of life. Such wonders I heard, which I had never heard before. Taddadriksha bibhutoham sarvam santyajya takshane samkirtayan jagannatham audra desha disham shritaha. Overcome by desire to see Lord Jagannath, in a moment I abandoned everything and set off in the direction of Orissa, chanting Lord Jagannath's glories. So much for Gopukumar's obligations as king. He just abandoned them. Commentary. Gopukumar was so inspired by the glories of Lord Jagannath and the Lord's Kshetra that he gave up externally and internally affinity to the kingdom and everything related to it. He at once began his journey to Jagannath Puri, heading in the general direction of Orissa. He didn't know where it was. Someone pointed to go over this way, so he went. While on the road, he constantly chanted the four syllables of Lord Jagannath's name. Tatshetramachidat praptas tatratyan dandavannaman antak puram pravishtoham tesham karunaya satam. I quickly reached that holy district of the Lord, bowing down to all the residents. By their mercy, I was able to enter the temple grounds. Durada darshi purushottama vatra chandro brajad vishala nayano manipundra bhala snigdhava kantir arunadara deepti ramyo shesha prashada vikasat smita chandrikadya. From a distance I saw the moon-like face of Lord Purushottama. His broad eyes shone brilliantly. His forehead decorated with tilaka made of gems. His complexion glowed like a cloud full of rain, and the effulgence of his dawn-colored lips was all attractive. Moonbeams of unlimited satisfaction emanated from his smile, adding to his beauty. Tatra grato gantumanas chaneshe premna hato vepatubir nirudaha romancha binno shuddha vilupta drishti stambam suparnasya katanchidaptaha. Struck by the ecstasy of pure love and impeded by trembling in my body, I was unable to go forward despite my desire. But somehow I reached Garuda's column, my hair standing on end, my vision clouded by tears. Commentary: Gopakumara was eager to enter Lord Jagannath's temple, but had difficulty proceeding because his mind was overwhelmed by love and his body by the ecstasy of jadya, being stunned. Unconscious of his own movements, only by the Lord's mercy did Gopakumara reach the column on which Garuda sits before Lord Jagannath's altar. Of course, that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stand also for taking darshan. Divyam baralam karana sraganila avali vyaptam mano lochana arshavardhanam singhasanasyopari lilayastitam bukdva mahabhogaganan maho manoharan pranaman vityastuti vadya gita paramstu saprema vilokayantam Mahamahimnam paramikshamano patam janat jagannatamaham vimuhya. I saw Lord Jagannath bedecked with jewelry, divine garments and flower garlands. The sight of him increased the pleasure of my mind and eyes. As he sat playfully on his lion throne, he ate the wonderful varieties of attractive food being offered to him. With love, he watched his devotees busily singing, dancing, playing music, offering prayers, and bowing down to him. Seeing that supremely splendorous pageant bewildered me, and I fainted and fell to the floor. Samgyam prapto samgyam labdva samun milya lochane lok chayan punaha unmata ivatam dharitum savego davamagrataha. I came to my senses, opened my eyes, and gazed upon him again. Like a madman, I ran forward quickly to catch hold of him. Chiradvidrikshato drishto jivitam jivitam maya prapto dya jagadisho yam nija praburidi iti pruvan. I cried out, now I am seeing what for so long I wanted to see. From today my life is a real life. I have obtained the Lord of the Universe, my Master. Commentary: previously, Gopakumara had never felt fully alive. But now, after seeing Lord Jagannath, he considered himself delivered from the living death of material existence. Repeating himself out of sheer joy, he declared that now he had not only seen the Lord of the Universe, but come into intimate contact with him. In Lord Jagannath, he perceived for the first time all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savetrakatam parihari bistada nivarito chata vichara lajitaha prabhokripam tam anumanya niragato Mahaprasadanam atapnuvam bahi. So Gopakumara had just fallen on his face right in front of Lord Jagannath. He stood up and he was crying out in ecstasy. Just then the guards struck me with their sticks and stopped me. Realizing what I had done, I felt embarrassed. This is the Lord's mercy, I reasoned. And I went outside, where I received remnants of his Mahaprasad. Commentary. Being struck by the sticks of the doorkeepers brought Gopakumara out of his trance. He thought, here I am, an insignificant foreigner, behaving with such impudence. What am I doing? But despite some physical pain, Gopakumara was not at all unhappy. He was still overjoyed to be in the realm of Lord Jagannath. The Lord was so kind enough to arrange for the guards to stop him, because had he embraced Lord Jagannath, as he had intended, he would have committed a serious offense. Calming himself down, Gopakumara went outside, where a compassionate person gave him Mahaprasad from the Lord. Anyway, according to Sananda Goswami, it's an offense, at least in this situation, inside the temple, to just go ahead and embrace Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath has his servants, the Pratiharas, who they may be brahmanas. Actually, I don't think they are. But anyway, their job is simply anyone who comes close, too close to Lord Jagannath, they beat him. Yeah, they don't argue. They just hit you with the stick. That is their duty. They're not at fault for that. And you can expect that. Get too close to the deity and you'll be punished. Gopakumara is not reacting out of anger. This shows that he actually has humility and he's not interested in making a show in front of everybody else of his devotion. We'll see. Well, we won't get a chance here, but if you read the book, you'll see how Gopakumara, simply on the strength of his innocence, of his honesty, and on the strength of his following the instructions of his spiritual master, and chanting Krishna's mantra with all that sincerity and innocence, that he'll achieve every perfection that can be achieved in the material world and beyond. A devotee doesn't necessarily forfeit material success by pursuing spiritual success. That's up to Krishna. To save us, protect us from fall down and from distraction, Krishna usually doesn't let us have material success. But on the other hand, some devotees, especially those who are simple and honest, Krishna can heap on them all sorts of material assets because they won't misuse them. Devotees like the Pandavas, they were also simple devotees who only wanted Krishna's pleasure. But Krishna gave them the whole world to rule over. He gave them victory over the greatest enemies. And they were able to take these powers and these assets and again use them only for Krishna's pleasure. They never became selfishly attached. They never became complacent, satisfied with themselves, proud. Yet there is pride. It's pride that I'm Krishna's servant. I'm the order carrier of Krishna. And therefore, if you oppose Krishna, I will defeat you. So that pride can be there. Pride in being Krishna's servant, but not pride for yourself. But Gopakumara doesn't even have that kind of pride. He never fights with anybody. He never struggled to gain a kingdom. They always just landed in his lap. He never did anything to achieve any material power, and he was given all power. We'll see more and more. He becomes Lord Brahma and takes over the whole universe. People are struggling, destroying their enemies, working feverishly to get a little kingdom, to build or take over a small corporation. And this little boy from Govardhan, who never even learned anything in school, took over the whole universe without trying, just on the strength of chanting this mantra. Not that everybody who chants is going to have a universe of his own. Now, that's Gopakumar's special destiny. Something special about him, that he always gets this power without asking for it. But we do get all sorts of facilities just by being Krishna's devotee. Okay, so any other comments?
As far as I remember, he was desiring. I mean, like, when he was hearing about Dhammalaha, he was desiring, and that desire chanting mantra and then going.
Yes.
He didn't do, like, some special efforts, but...
All he did was think it would be nice if I could be Brahma, then I'd have an opportunity to serve the Lord personally. Because he saw Lord Brahma, and he saw the intimate relationship that Lord Brahma had with Mahavishnu. How Brahma was worshipping the Lord, and the Lord was accepting personally his offerings. So he felt, I'd like to be able to do that too. But he wasn't interested in controlling. And all he did was express some desire in his mind, chant his mantra, and the universe was given to him. No, I mean, Gopakumar is one person who you couldn't ever accuse of being exploitative. Yes, Prabhu?
Panda from Jagannath Puri was saying that they have to eat meat, fish, before offering bhoga to Lord. Is it proper in open scriptures?
Prabhupada didn't like it. Prabhupada thought this is very improper, that the pujaris are not strict vegetarians. He warned them that if you continue like this, Lord Jagannath will leave this place. You know, the dham will become vacant. Lord Jagannath will go somewhere else. So no, I mean, as far as Prabhupada was concerned, this is not tolerable behavior. The servants of the Lord have to maintain their purity. They can claim tradition, but I don't think in ancient times the Pujaris were like that. That they were eating things that can't be offered to Krishna. Yes?
Lord Jagannath giving Puri. Is it that's why accept the religion of Hinduism? Nobody is allowed to enter into the temple.
There is, I've heard that in the last couple of years they're getting paranoid about some prediction of some, you know, bogus incarnation has made about the Russians are going to steal Lord Jagannath. The Russians.
I
think there is some paranoia about that among the caretakers of Lord Jagannath, that someone's going to come and steal him.
And I also heard some devil fight between Pandas and that. Western
people,
and Pandas will win, and then Jagannath won't come to the Jagannath temple.
He
will come to Cuttack, and they already built a temple for that.
I don't know. I've heard rumors. Yeah.
So like, they're not allowing somebody else to enter the temple except if he's a Hindu or a Hindu people.
But that's been going on for a long time, that only the born Hindus are allowed to see Jagannath.
The history goes way back.
That goes way back. Well, that is their ancient tradition. You know, they the history is that the Jagannath temple was taken over by the Buddhists for 100 years. So there were non-Hindus in there for a long time. It may be in reaction to that, when the Buddhists were finally kicked out, that they of course, who were they at that time, 2,000 years ago or so, 1,000 years ago when they kicked out the Buddhists, there hardly were any Muslims in India, there weren't any Christians, there weren't any Videshis, not 1,000 years ago. So practically the only non-Hindus then were the Buddhists and the Jains. And some atheists. So if they had a rule back then, only Hindus, then it was against other persons born in India but who were not following, you know, not following Vedic religion. So there's a tradition, and it goes back a long time. That's okay that atheists or material, you know, atheists should not be allowed into the temple, but it shouldn't be just on bodily identification, that someone is not born a Hindu. Then you're committing offenses against Vaishnavas by not letting them in. Haridas Thakur felt this discrimination, and therefore he didn't even try to enter the temple because he was born as a Muslim. But he is the most saintly of all Vaishnavas. So it really was an offense that he wasn't begged to please come in. Even at that time, 500 years ago. I don't remember anybody, I don't remember the Pujaris coming and begging Haridas Thakur, please come and take darshan. They let him refuse to come. They didn't force him to come and see Jagannath. So that means even then there was that prejudice. And it was a great offense against Haridas Thakur not to invite him to come and get darshan. So it's not a new thing.
Okay. It's about prasadam. We like some preparation and we don't like some preparation.
Yes.
And it is offense to think like that and accept whatever we like.
It's not offense, it's just less mature. It's means your faith is not completely mature, that you cannot see the prasadam with completely transcendental eyes. But that's excused. It's excused. But eventually, gradually, we should transcend that. We should have purely spiritual faith in prasadam. We shouldn't be considered about. We shouldn't be considering what appeals to our taste buds, what sits good in our stomach, but the mere fact that it's been offered to Krishna. We should eventually come to the point that we have only spiritual considerations in mind. But we can't imitate it. So, for the meanwhile, Krishna tolerates that. He's happy we're taking prasadam. If we're taking prasadam and not taking bhoga, that's good for now. Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Not because he, I don't think it has to do with the pandas. He was not happy because he had a very clear idea how deities should be worshipped. He established the deity worship in many temples here in the south. He revised how Lord Vishnu should be worshipped in many temples, Ramanujacharya. Now when he came to Puri, he also thought maybe something should be changed here. They're really, really irregular forms of worship. Okay, what he saw in Puri. He thought the worship there was not according to proper standards. But Lord Jagannath, although he was right technically, Lord Jagannath is satisfied very much by the way his worshippers take care of him, and they've been doing it for thousands of years. So he had to get rid of Ramanujacharya. He kicked him, he physically kicked him out of town. Why is it? Offensive attitude. They lack proper respect for Vaishnavas. They cannot recognize who is a Vaishnav. They're judging just on the body. That they're not born, in a Hindu gotra. And why are they discriminating against all ISKCON devotees? Many, many ISKCON devotees in India today, most of them have been born as proper Hindus. So how can they, it's okay not to let, you don't want to let the foreigners in, okay. But, they're not even letting in the Indian ISKCON devotees. So it's great offense on their part. They're really asking for trouble. Yeah, spiritual trouble. That's all it is. It's just offensive. And they call it tradition. But their tradition is against Shastra. They, you know, the Shastra defines who is a Vaishnav. And it doesn't matter whether you were born in a family of dog eaters. If you're chanting Krishna's names, if you're serving Krishna, then you're better than an ordinary Brahmana. So they're ignoring the Shastra and citing tradition, but their tradition is overruled by Shastra. And therefore they're wrong and they're offensive. We'll see how much he accepts. Yeah. Adjustments will be made. These people will be removed and Lord Jagannath's worship will go on the proper way. Okay. I mean, you know, because their families have been serving for so many generations, there's some Lord Jagannath tolerates, but he can only tolerate so much. Vaishnava aparad. Okay. Anything else? Yes, sir.
In the morning you were telling about this consciousness of the speaker. So I was just had a doubt that when we hear from cassettes and when we hear from the person, how much is there a lot of difference in the potency?
No. The only thing is you don't see the person when you're hearing from a recording. It's not that the recording is dead, whereas you have a living contact with the real person. No, it's the same thing, except for something, some aspects are missing. It's not as vivid and complete an experience, because it's only, you're only hearing it, you're not seeing it. But the person, you have living contact with him through the recording. You have contact with an acharya through his book, even though he may have physically passed away. We can associate with Prabhupada and the past acharyas through their writings, and that's also a living contact. We're in contact with them spiritually, and all the complete potency is there. We can take shiksha from Prabhupada. He can be our shiksha guru. But diksha is something different. For diksha, you have to have physical presence. The person has to be there to give you guidance, or at least to appoint somebody else to give you guidance, you know, practical instructions. So for diksha, it is required that the person be physically present. But shiksha, the person can even be departed. You can receive his instructions in a recording, written recording or sound recording.
And reading, I mean, how much difference is there hearing from directly from the, say, the cassette and reading the book?
They're both equally effective, but according to your individual nature, you may have difficulty focusing your attention when you're trying to read words on paper. Some people have a hard time with that. And some can more easily concentrate when they hear, and vice versa. It's just individual preference. They're both equally potent. To receive the words in any form, it will be effective. Okay? And the consciousness and the potency of the person speaking will be conveyed, even in written form, even in mechanical or electronic form. That's the power of language. Language stays alive no matter what form you're recording it in. Language, sound is eternal, even when it's frozen. Okay, thank you. We'll stop for now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.